Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Here we are, Wednesday, Spike's Car Radio. Feels good. Got some energy. How are you guys doing? It's good to be with you all. What are you doing right now? Driving in the car listening? I feel close to you. Am I in your ear? Hello there, into your brain. I'm happy to be with you today. We have a terrific show. Jeremy Piven will be joining us in a minute to talk about his new movie, Last Call, which is in theaters and on demand March 19th, 2021. We'll find out once and for all, did he buy that Porsche? I'm not going to blow it right now. You have to listen to the interview. Did he buy the Porsche? Zuckerman has been waylaid at the last minute and just said, I'm in Texas. Obviously on the run, on the lam, going deep in the wind, whatever phrase you choose. I'm hoping he'll be back. You're listening to Johnny Lieberman, who, thank you, Johnny, for stepping in at this last minute.
Hey, man.
I don't know where Zuckerman or what he's up to.
I know what he's up to.
I just know he's in the wind. He's in the wind.
He's chasing money.
If things straighten up for him, then he'll be back. If not, that's the last you've ever heard of Zuckerman.
Well, we can impersonate him for, you know, for
that's
a few
easy.
Months.
We can definitely do some of that. Yeah, before we get going, blipshift.com, the new Spike's Car Radio shirt, SCRS, Spike's Car Radio shirt, in a font different than Porsche's font, but looks exactly like it.
That's so Blipshift.
Go there. It's only for about another 10 days, and then they're gone forever. And then you'll be bugging me. When can I buy them? Buy them now. Get the hoodies. Get all that stuff. It's for sale.
Can I tell you something?
What's that?
I bought one.
Oh, you did?
I bought the blue with the yellow.
Did you like it?
I bought the hoodie. It hasn't showed up yet, but I wanted to do...
Thank you.
I wanted to do actual Porsche font for one of my last Blipshift shirts, and they said no, but I like that you've got it past them somehow.
We got something close to it. I also deleted the Spike's Car Radio on the back of the collar. I wanted that secret handshake shirt for all the listeners to have, and it's just us. It's just in our crew. It also, aside, we have it in steel brake red script and ceramic brake yellow script, but also the blue and yellow was inspired by the original Late Night with David Letterman shirt, which was blue and yellow, and the Matt Farah Fireman Fundraiser California Cool Roads shirt, which I've always loved to Blipshifts.
I bought that too.
That's a good
one,
right?
I stopped buying all my friends' shirts. But.
Well, they're only $20.
Well, $40 for the hoodie, but you know,
I'm
rolling around in cash these days.
To support us, if you want to support us, and if you miss it, you miss it, and don't worry, we have the kids' coloring book with Fireball coming out April 1st, which I'm super excited about too. I've never done anything like this, but you know, Fireball is like, pick your 18 favorite kind of things with wheels, which was fun. And I've been posting them on Instagram one at a time. These are the ones. And there's a bicycle in there and there's a motorcycle in there, which they tried to talk me out of. I said, I'm not going to do that.
I would have talked you out of the motorcycle, but that's cool. That's you. You like bikes. You like bikes.
And it's a, well, these were the important vehicles to me mostly growing up. I left one or two out, like the Honda Accord, the 78 Honda Accord, which was very close to my heart as a child.
I wouldn't have left that out. That's a great car.
Yeah, that's a great car.
That's a great car.
But your kids are going to love it, and it's a lot of cool things in there, and I don't think I could finish the crossword myself. It's all Spike Ferrest and trivia. That was kind of weird, seeing a crossword about yourself.
That's a lot of trivia, too.
Well, there are other, I mean, there's a real science to putting those together. You know, I was able to give a lot of clues, like Plan Z, and I don't want to give them away here, just in case you want to finish, but Zuckerman and all sorts of other things. But then there are all sorts of words that you just have to fill in the other words with that have nothing to do with your life. So you get this list of 20 words and go, BLOC, block. Can you relate to that to your life somehow? And I'm like, no, I can't.
Right. Yeah,
I can't do that. And it was fun to kind of work out a different kind of writing assignment with this crossword expert. But so far, it's been a joy. They do all the work. I have minimal kind of involvement, and then we split the money. So there you go.
I mean, and I imagine there's lots of money in crossword and coloring books.
Well, it's the coloring book part.
Right, right.
That, us dads, your dad, you like to buy coloring books for your kids.
I'm going to get one. I mean, someone was just telling me the other day, they're like, you got to write a book. You got to write a book. And I asked some friends of mine who have written a book. They're like, yeah, you get like $8,000 to $10,000. Takes 6 months to do. I'm like... Doesn't seem like a good return on investment.
Wrestled with that at various points in my life, post Seinfeld, late night show, and a couple of things happened with me. One, why in God's name would anybody care about my life? One, I have a bit of issue with that. I mean, I think I've said it all at this point.
Right.
But then that means I'm writing something new, but you know, I guess there, I mean, I have a lot of great old stories about SNL and my time at Letterman. I don't know. Memoirs seem really...
I don't think you're old enough either. I mean, but that's the thing, right? As you get older, you're going to forget more and more.
And there has to be a moment or an idea attached to it, too. I go down, I'm wired up wrong for all that.
The other thing is, like, I could write a fascinating book, but I think it would be fascinating to me and 20 other people. I could write a real tell-all. Like, I know some crazy shit, but...
That would be all right.
But I don't know. I don't think there's any market. And also, like...
Stories from the road.
I'd be burning some bridges, like, betraying trusts and confidences. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, McLaren?
No, nothing even like that. No, Mercedes.
Ferrari.
Yeah, yeah. No Ferraris. But,
no, but you have a level of expertise you could communicate if you found that right little framework to work in that I think would be very valuable. I think people would buy it.
Well, you know, kind of like your coloring book, I've thought of...
And that's about my level of expertise is coloring.
Well, I had this idea. I got approached to do a book a couple years ago, and my idea was, all right, I'm just going to like pick the 25 or 50 best cars I've ever driven.
Right.
And I'll just, you know, I'll do like two pages on each, some nice photos. There's a 100, 200 page book right there, right? And it just seemed daunting. I don't know. It just has a lot of work.
It is.
It's a lot of work.
There's no getting around that piece of it. It's a lot of work.
I'm lazy, Spike. Talking's easy. I'll talk to you all day.
Look, I've said this all along. I don't know how you even write anything. Writing is really hard for me, and it's the thing I hated most in life, and I don't know why I became one, but it's not a pleasant experience unless I have guys like a small crew. I'm working with a small crew right now, and it's the best part of my day every day because I've got – it's just the right balance and the right chemistry, but by yourself, nightmare.
I guess for me, it's like I know if I have to write a review. Like I wrote a review of the Bugatti, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's going to be about 2,000 to 2,500 words. I've got 15, 16 years pro experience doing that.
Yep.
And it's really fun and really satisfying, but also for me, really easy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like this would be new territory and it would be hard. And I guess if something's hard, I don't know. That means I should probably do it, but I'm not going to do it. So there will be no book, no coloring book, no nothing.
You know what you need?
Mm.
Some Mack Weldon. After taking a brief hiatus from outdoor activities and workout routines, it's time to get back to the grind with a new spring essentials from Mack Weldon.
That's
with
a good
body
point.
Mapping technology, fabric mesh zones. Mack Weldon Stealth Boxer Briefs deliver enhanced breathability and support, perfect for your everyday wear or to be layered underneath your workout gear. And for sweatpants you can wear outside without feeling like you're wearing sweatpants, check out Mack Weldon's new Ace line. Now I wear this stuff. I I'm not wearing it now because I'm not working out this afternoon, but I put on their pants in particular, and I wear them for the Zoom calls. I wear them to go out. I wear them then to the workout and back, and then they're my TV pants. I can get like 5 uses out of those pants. I absolutely love their joggers. But they don't just sell those. They sell socks, shirts, hoodies, underwear, polos, active shorts. Their wide range of customized fabrics that keep you with you no matter what your day looks like. That's been my experience. You guys got to check them out. For 20% off your first order. Wow. 20% off your first order. Visit MackWeldon.com/spike and enter promo code spike. That's MackWeldon.com/spike. Promo code spike for 20% off. Focus on the joggers. I have one of their polos too. It's the perfect combo. Mack Weldon, reinventing men's basics. You know why it's that perfect combo? Because you have the polo for the top and that's your Zoom call. And then you can literally go to the gym and work out after in the same outfit. It just, you know,
if they want to...
It straddles all these different worlds.
If they want to send me some stuff. It just got cold enough finally where I'm actually putting on pants for Zoom calls. I've been in...
Yeah, they'll do that.
They give
our hosts a couple $100 worth of stuff, and I never send it to Zuckerman. I always buy it myself.
Well, I've just been wearing gym shorts for you know 12 months or whatever it's been.
You want an endorsement? I actually a week ago spent my own money there.
Wow.
I just got rid of a lot of stuff, and I said I want more of this stuff.
Well, that's
because
funny because
it straddles all these different worlds.
One of the reasons I spent my own money on a Blipshift hoodie, your Blipshift hoodie, is because they make great hoodies.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Champion stuff. But here's how lazy I am. I could have like wrote Joe and said, hey, could you send me one? But I was
right.
It'll be quicker just to buy it.
I get that. I've done that.
Yeah, I've done it. Good.
Let's talk about the Polestar 2.
Polestar 2.
I was excited to hear that you had driven it.
I
just got out of it yesterday. And there's a lot of interest in it, and I've got a lot of stats here. Let me just throw some general stats at everybody. Polestar is going to, Polestar is Geely money, the same money that is Volvo.
Volvo and money.
Would it be right to say that they are the AMG to Mercedes?
That's kind of the idea. That's the idea. Although, the AMG is a good one because they actually get different shaped vehicles.
Right. And Polestar started out as a performance brand for Volvo and then pivoted quickly to all electric, right?
Well, I mean, kind of, except the Polestar 1 was a hybrid.
It's a hybrid.
Yeah, so the Polestar 2 is the first all-electric.
Okay, and they're going to make 3 vehicles, this Polestar 1, 2-door, no space for anything but yourself car. the Polestar 2, which is one I'm driving now and you just drove, and the Polestar 3, an SUV, correct?
Something like that. I'm not clear
but
on
it's
the
not
Polestar
out yet.
3. It's not out.
Is the 2 out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe it's out. I mean, I drove it in September, so...
It's a premium 5-door fastback with 2 electric motors and a 78-kilowatt battery capacity. First car in the world to feature a built-in infotainment system powered by Android, featuring voice command via Google Assistant, Google Maps, with EV charge support, and apps download via the Google Play Store.
Wow.
Production began in mid-2020. Deliveries to the U.S. began in the second half of 2020. Polestar 2, priced at $60,000 or $59,900, qualifies for federal electric tax credits, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, so this is a car that I didn't get. So here's my thing. Like, you're going to start a performance division, right? So like you said, it's the AMG to Volvo's Volvo-ness.
Correct.
And your second vehicle out of the gate doesn't really have that much performance. If you made an all-electric Volvo, it would be about the same. And then also, if you look at Polestar 1, it's drop-dead gorgeous. It's obviously the same styling from like the S90, the V90. Thomas, I'm going to butcher his name, Ingel, Seth, whatever his name is, the CEO of Polestar, who was the head of design for Volvo, you know, he comes out with his Polestar 2, which is ugly. It's just kind of whatever looking. It looks like a jacked up fat sedan. So it's like you don't have the great looks. You don't have like really any performance. And then the range isn't better than a Tesla. It's not even better than the Mach-E. The battery's small. There's no the frunk is tiny. Like I don't get this car. It should have been a Volvo. I'm serious. You know what I mean? Like,
should have been a Volvo.
Do a high performance.
I can tell you a little bit because I have an interesting entry point to this car. Okay, yeah. Erica has got the BMW 530i Performance.
Okay,
all right. So that's a plug-in hybrid BMW sedan. She loves the car, hates that it has a trunk, would rather have a hatchback. All right. Now look, you see where this is going? Can't stand that it only gets 16 all electric miles. Wants more. Right, I agree. 230 miles is what I got on the full charge. That is not enough. Not enough for someone like her to. I want 360 in a car like
that.
Yeah, I mean,
right? Here's the thing: if there was no other vehicles that did that, but the Tesla Model Y, which is now the dominant SUV in Los Angeles, does that. You know, the Ford does, if you get the rear-wheel drive.
What is the price point of the Y? It's cheaper, too, right?
It can be cheaper. I mean, you can spec them up to anything. But right. It's definitely cheaper. The Ford is way cheaper, and I've driven both the Ford and the Polestar. The Ford is way sportier, way better to drive.
Right,
and I just had one last week, and I was going down Angeles Crest. My buddy, E39 M5, hell of a car, was chasing me, and, like, the Ford was a little bit quicker. So that's pretty good performance.
Right.
And I asked him, I said, like, how hard were you driving? And he said, honestly, 9.5 tenths. He's like, I could have been late braking to maybe catch you a little bit, but I, you know, it's a public road, blah, blah, blah. So again, if it was a Volvo, it would just be a Volvo with a small battery. But now it's like, it's a Polestar, which is supposed to be performance, right?
Right.
Like, so.
Well, maybe. Now it's the pivot to electric. Really is. I'm going to disagree with you on a couple of things because the first day I was bored with the car and a lot of things weren't making sense to me.
Okay.
One, I am an iPhone person and why?
Android.
Where's my CarPlay? And why are you forcing me to sign into this vehicle? Okay. I've since learned that there is no CarPlay yet.
Yes.
It will be an update, but it won't be there. The car's already launched. It's not there yet. So I was left with, you know, and as the listeners know, a mess. And I wanted to walk into that car. I put my phone down on the wireless charging platform.
So far, you're agreeing with me, but go ahead.
Wireless play, it didn't work. But, you know, I've been having trouble with this phone on my new Defender, too. I don't know why the wireless platform. So I'm going to just chalk that up to test mule, and there's an issue there. But still, it was a little annoying. Like, why are we launching something futuristic without CarPlay? Why Android and Google of all people who, you know, just a minute ago wants to, you know, monitor our sleep? It was on Drudge a minute ago. It's just like, can you just stay out of my car? Anyway.
Yeah.
I then used it this whole weekend, and Little League, thank God, is back. And so the hatchback, suddenly I'm throwing equipment in there. By the second and third day, I took it out to Malibu and showed it to Leno, and I was really loving the car. You know, I liked the way it drove. It felt like a premium Volvo to me. I can't compare it to a Model 3 or a Model S because they don't let me drive their cars. They hate my guts.
They're brilliant. Yeah,
I've reached out to them multiple times.
No, there's no PR department anymore. They're done.
Well, Matt Farah got one, and at one point he passed along that contact to me.
But they're gone now.
They're just gone.
Yeah, that's gone. Yeah.
But, you know, I did enjoy the drive. And then, you know, one night we were out to dinner, and I had everybody in it, and I, you know, we were all happy in it. And my wife liked the hatchback, and I did too, throwing the kids' stuff in there. And by the last day I had with it, I was enjoying the feel of the drive. It felt like a more premium electric vehicle that approached that kind of quality the Taycan gives, which Taycan has a real Porsche punch
that comes with it.
It wasn't quite there, but it felt like premium Volvo. Like a bit of that personality was infused into the electric experience.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a visibility issue. B pillars, quite thick. You're going to be very safe in the car, but you look over your right shoulder. Also out the back, I think comparable to a Model 3. There's a little bit of a squinch in the back there.
Yeah,
the rear seats I put a friend of mine in there who's 6'1". The top of his head was pushed up against the ceiling.
Yeah, and Swedes are giants, right? So, like, how do they let that lead, you know, leave Gothenburg, right?
Yeah, and then my 10-year-old was complaining it was too bumpy in the back, too.
It rides. I feel rather poorly. And again, like, when I drove it, we had it for SUV of the year. When by the way, we named the Defender SUV of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
The car that was maybe as good, but wasn't really competing because Tesla wouldn't even give us one, so we had to rent one.
Right,
was the Model Y, which solves every problem you mentioned. Right, it's got
so
plenty
like
of room
that.
In the backseat. The Model Y, everything I didn't like about the Model 3 is a very good car with lots of weird little problems, like what you're describing with like the backseat and the visibility.
Right,
Model Y solves everything. Model Y is incredible.
Yeah,
it just they launched it right when they got rid of their PR department, so we can't get any to drive or compare. But I'm just like, why would you pay more for the Polestar? Because the Polestar name, by the way, means nothing to anyone, right?
But, when friends of mine saw it on the West Side, they were like, hey, can I come over and see it? And can I drive it? And I said, absolutely. And one guy was a Tesla guy. There's a desire for people who have had Teslas for the last 3 to 5 years to get into something comparable but different with a different aesthetic and brand.
I just, like I said,
And they're rooting for it. I feel like we're all rooting for this to work, yet it's...
And there's plenty of room. It's not like suddenly Tesla's going to stop selling vehicles. Like, everything's going electric. It's nothing but growth. But it's just, you know, Ford of all companies, this Mach-E, this Mustang Mach-E, I just had the, wasn't even the GT. It's not the performance one. The one I had was $56,000. It was dual motor. It was the extended range battery pack. It drove, as I said, like, better than 85% of all Mustangs I've ever driven. Like, it really drove and it looks good. I think the Polestar is awkward looking. It looks like a Subaru sedan, like an old one.
Yeah,
you know, and it's
But I don't think it's designed to look good. I think it's designed to perform a function, which is just get people. Yeah, I know.
But
that change, that back change, getting rid of the trunk is what makes it look so awkward. Yet it's functional.
I guess I'm so staggered that like Volvo's design has been so good since about 2016, 2017. Mm-hmm. Like XC90. I don't even like SUVs. That's a handsome SUV, right?
Yep.
The V90 is you know, the most beautiful station wagon ever made. The Polestar 1, I mean, you bite your fist, you look at that thing.
Just
incredible looking. And then this is like... You know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't like the head of design is now the CEO of Polestar. He's a genius designer. I don't know.
I just don't know who buys it, right? If it came in at 40...
Yeah.
If it came in at 40 grand.
That's the thing, it could, because it's not quick.
If there were 300 miles of charge, I'd be in.
That's the thing. 78 kilowatt hour battery is like maybe a few years ago would have been good, but like, you know, Teslas are 90 or 100. Even the Mustang was 88 kilowatt hours. So you're just coming in weaker than everyone.
Now, my friend has a place up in Lake Tahoe, and he drives his Tesla up there. Funny, he had an issue with his Tesla, too, his power steering. Went out and couldn't turn the wheel. Rats. Yeah. The West Side rat story. This happens with our plug-in hybrids. The rats eat the wires,
okay,
and apparently they munched him, and halfway through, he lost his steering. But he had a good question. He said, you know, is there a Volvo supercharger network, Polestar?
No, look.
So how are people on that drive, how is he charging his car up?
It's tough. I mean, I always say the smartest thing for two reasons Tesla ever did was the supercharger network. One, when Tesla was brand new, you had a bunch of people that could afford $100,000 cars standing around talking to each other for 45 minutes, which is smart. And then two, it's great. They're everywhere. Whereas like with, you know, when I had that Mustang, I was like, okay, I'm going to find some places to charge it. Like one didn't exist. One that I found was like would have taken 22 hours to charge.
Right.
You know, so you start to learn like, okay, you really want to find an Electrify America plug, but that's like 10 miles out of the way. Now, if you
they don't have a little store that you can go in, like
Tesla. Yeah, Tesla, the smartest thing they did.
He painted a little picture for me. It's like, they had the store. You go in and buy the stuff. And I'm like, snacks? He's like, snacks.
Yeah,
I'm like,
whoa. See? Super smart.
Oh. No, I think we're headed towards a Model Y. I think that's, you know, of all people, my wife is pushing back on it a little bit because she's heard us rant about Elon Musk, but... You know,
I mean,
it seems to be the thing that we're zeroing in on.
It's good. I would say call Ford, get a hold of that Mustang. That Mustang's pretty
good. I was
supposed
to drive it, and I was busy that day, and I've heard wonderful things. What does it look like inside? Does it look
like
a Ford?
It's like a nice Ford. It actually has, look, there's a lot of plastic in there, but it has like nicely sculpted plastic. It was better than I thought.
What does that car cost?
It was, I think start 48. The one I had was 56. So yeah. And then the GT's coming if you want another 100 so odd horsepower. That's coming pretty soon. And it looks a little bit better, you know? So yeah,
for me, it's about charge and miles to charge because this person will forget to plug said vehicle.
Yeah, so you want the Model Y.
And it was long funny because I charged this Polestar up, and then I'm going to leave it in the driveway and see how comfortable I am with range anxiety. And the 230 was an honest 230. It held up, and you know, after driving it for a few days, I still had 160 on there.
I thought that was
pretty good. Usually with these cars, you start with 230, you go to the 7-Eleven, you come back, you have 9 miles left.
Well, I mean, look, part of it is it's been so freaking cold that you're not running the AC. It's the AC really eats you. But
I ran it the whole time. I was hot.
230, probably because it's a glass roof with no shade, because I don't know why that's a problem too. They all do that. Mustang, Tesla,
I know,
Volvo,
but with McLaren,
Polestar.
There's a nice little button that darkens the glass.
Yeah, not on your Polestar.
This is like you're exposed.
No, it's insane. You know, it's a funny story. So you know, talking about Elon Musk, years ago, right when they came out, like 2012-ish, we had a Model S, and it was like August, and it was, you know, 1,000 degrees. We're out in Fontana, and we're sitting under this glass roof, and I had a Tesla engineer in the car. I'm like, why the fuck don't you have a screen? And he goes, yeah, Elon didn't want one. And I'm like, because he lives in Santa Barbara, where it's never 9,000 degrees.
Yes.
And then every electric car that comes out, they're like, what did Tesla do? Ah, no screen. And it's so stupid because nothing eats batteries like air conditioning.
Yeah, it's problematic.
It's dumb. But, look, anything over 200 miles range actually works for 99% of the people, unless you're doing a road trip to Tahoe or whatever.
Right.
And if you have a home charger, it's not an issue. You just plug it in when you get home.
I do.
If your wife forgets, you do it. You know, it's like trash cans.
I don't want another job. I can't keep covering.
Then keep the BMW. I don't know what to tell you.
No, the Beamer's up. It's on its way out. It served its purpose.
Check out the Ford.
She enjoyed the idea of the vegan interior.
Yeah.
That's how Polestar describes it.
Yeah.
No
Tesla products. Tesla has a vegan interior. Does the Mustang? God, the Mustang might have one.
But there's nothing fun in it, like with Tesla, that's fun things. And you just drove up in this Mercedes SUV.
That bounces.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lowrider style.
It's the greatest.
But you're saying it's not a lowrider mode.
You can drop it down. You can do that. Yeah. No. It's active body control. And they actually just canceled it for the GLE, but you can still get it on the GLS 580 and the Maybach now comes
with
it.
And its usage is in off roading.
Well,
you're saying.
I mean, look. So the idea is you're stuck in sand. It'll bounce its way out of the sand.
Ah.
But I was on the launch of this car, and I remember they're showing us this, and I put my hand up. I'm like, Henrik, can you do that on like drive pavement? And he looks at me. Absolutely not. And I go, no, not would you. Like, what would happen? He's like, well, the car would just bounce up and down. Like, I immediately ran out. And I had my friend get in the car, and I started filming. And, like, we had, like, 9 of them bouncing. And Mercedes PR, they came out, and they're like, oh, could you not be doing this? Like, this is not really the message we want to send. And I'm going, like, fucking idiots. Like, this is the feature.
Message.
Every other SUV doesn't bounce. This one bounces. And then, like, 2 days later, I got a nice note from them. Like, you know what? You were right. We didn't really realize how great this would be. But it's hydraulic suspension, so that it's an $8,200 option. Dealers weren't ordering it for the two row, so it's gone for this year. But
I think you might both be right, by the way, because I saw you and I was like, "What is he driving?" And you did. Then you did it here, and I went, "What? Is this some sort of aftermarket Mercedes SUV?" It doesn't make sense when you see that mode.
Oh, it's so great, though. It's so great.
No, I know it's great. It looks excellent.
Yeah.
It's just that I don't think either. Both of you guys are right. They shouldn't be promoting that. Well, it just doesn't look like something Mercedes would make.
I know.
Well, but I like it. You're right. It's fun. Again, to leave it to the Germans to have something funny, and then they're like, no, hide this away.
Yeah.
We don't want to be funny.
Well, the funniest part was I walked up. So the kid who engineered it, I mean, he was probably like 30, but he looked about 22, blonde German kid, glasses, you know. And I walked up to him and I'm like, hey, Hans, like, you know, you're going to be really popular in East LA. And he deadpan, looks at me and goes, oh, is there a lot of off-roading in East Los Angeles? And I was like, no. No, there's not.
Yeah, Holmes.
But no,
there
it's
certainly
awesome.
Is.
It's awesome. I love that car.
Yeah.
It's going back in like a month. I'm kind of, I got to figure out.
How long have you been driving it for?
A year today.
And really?
So yesterday we got an email. Okay, we're picking it up tomorrow. I'm like, whoa.
Isn't that funny how they do that?
Yeah, I'm like, how about a little warning? So we worked out an extra month.
Right. Yeah. So. I talked to your Audi guy. In fact, he just called me. I missed his call.
Oh.
I'm going to drive all those Audis. I like those cars.
Audis are good. Which one are you going to get?
Well, he told me that you did not like the RS6 Avant.
Oh, that's not fair.
So I said, please give me that one first.
No. I like the RS6 Avant. It's just compared to the Mercedes and the Porsche wagons. It's not so great to drive.
I think he was joking. He was joking.
No, it's gorgeous, and it's a 600 horsepower station wagon. What more do you want, really?
I want to drive everything. Everything they'll send me, I'm happy to drive it all.
So get that. The one that's really under the radar that I think is a cool vehicle that no one knows about is the SQ7.
Right.
So it's a V8 Q7. It's like 500 horsepower. And it makes all kinds of good noises, and they don't make an RSQ7, so it's a get that one. That's a good family car.
Does it make sense that the same company who controls half of online retail also passively eavesdrops on your private conversations at home? What about the idea that a single company controls 90% of the internet searches, runs your email service, and gets to track everything you do on your smartphone? I'm guessing they're talking about Googie.
Well, like they get to watch Spike drive now.
Big tech is more powerful than most countries are, and they profit by exploiting your personal data. It's time to put a layer of protection between your online activity and these tech juggernauts. And that's why I use ExpressVPN, and I do use it. Think of how much of your life is on the internet. Sadly, every site you visit, video you watched, message you sent gets tracked and data mined. That's why Zuckerman's on the lam. They saw what he was looking at. But when you run ExpressVPN on your device, the
they'll
software
never catch me.
Hides your IP address, something big tech can use to personally identify you, so ExpressVPN makes your activity harder to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your internet data to keep you safe from hackers and eavesdroppers on your network, and ExpressVPN does all of this without slowing your connection. That's why it's rated number one VPN service by CNET and Wired. Stop handing over your personal data to the big tech monopolies. Go to expressvpn.com/spike911. expressvpn.com/spike911 to get 3 extra months free. Wow, 3 extra months. expressvpn.com/spike911. I do have this on all of my computers. And you know how I can tell it works? Because I'll forget that it's on. Like when you open your computer, it's automatically on, right? And it connects to some one point in the internet in the world that everybody connects to, and now you're anonymized. But then you'll go to Facebook and you have to run like 10 different gauntlets. Because it's like, we don't know who this is trying to get into Spike First's account.
Oh, right.
And I like that. Now I know it's working, right?
See, I figured out a backdoor around all that.
Yeah.
You just be crazy. So I'm watching TV with my wife.
Yes.
And there was a big yacht. Something that we'll never be able to afford, like a 100-foot yacht.
Yes.
I'm like, baby, one day we're going to have a yacht like that. For the next week, my Facebook was just yacht ads. So, fuck them.
Are there yacht ads?
Yes! I had them all. there are.
It is good. You know, there are times you don't want people to know what you're up to
following around.
And
clearing your search history doesn't really
It's exactly what you say. Like I will get a little insecure about just like, like you're saying, do I want to buy this pair of sneakers? Maybe why don't I just do a little research on that, and then it's on, man. Like Theragun. You know what a Theragun is?
Yeah.
It's that little kind of neck massage gun, right? And my neck was hurting after working out a few weeks back, and I went to go research it, and I went, oh, if I do this. Right. If I do this, and I was on a different computer and it wasn't my computer has ExpressVPN, but I'm like, well, my neck hurts, I'm gonna find it is everywhere now. It is every Instagram, every third frame is Express Gun, and it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. I know at some point I'm gonna buy it, but you don't have to tap me on the shoulder every 5 minutes.
That happened to me this morning. My buddy and I were trying to make some money with cryptocurrency.
Ah,
and
really?
A little little bit, you know, just playing around. But it was like, okay, the first one who can make $100,000 has to buy the other one a watch, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, if I do that, then I'm gonna get this 2-watch Panerai set. And I Googled it and sent it to him. And now every ad is Panerai, which is okay.
So wait, I don't want to go down a crypto hole here.
Don't go down a crypto hole.
I really don't understand crypto in any way, shape, or form. But without you explaining that piece of it to me.
Yeah.
I've signed up. Uh-oh. I've bought the crypto coin.
Which one?
I don't know.
Bitcoin?
Whatever I bought. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm guessing I wired some money from my bank account to this exchange site. Is that not how you
No, you could. I don't know. I'm guessing. I hope you know what you did.
Like. No, I haven't done anything. I'm just trying to follow this.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
If I wanted to buy a cryptocurrency, wouldn't I have to create an account at an exchange?
There's a lot of ways to do it, but there's an app called Coinbase. That's what most people use for everything.
Right.
They're totally legit. They're about to IPO.
And you're going to, you have to hook that app up, I'm guessing, to your bank account.
To whatever bank account you want.
So you send 10 grand to them.
You send 10 grand to
Coinbase. Whatever coin you buy.
Yeah.
It zips up. You see it's worth $100,000.
Yeah.
Can you now vacuum it back into your account?
Yes, you can.
And then are you paying taxes on
capital
gains? Of course,
you pay tax on everything. Yeah.
Can I hold it in the other account and buy goods with the Bitcoin or whatever the crypto is without anyone seeing that?
They're going to see it. I don't know. You can't avoid taxes.
You can't.
At least advice is you can't avoid taxes. Talk to Zuckerman.
Why are you winking at me?
He might know different. SEC.
Stop rolling your eyes.
SEC, if you're listening, you have to pay taxes. IRS, taxes.
Stop winking at me.
No, I'm not going to stop. I would say this. So anyone listening, crypto investing is money that if you actually just put it on the ground and lit it on fire, it wouldn't affect you. Okay? If it's actually money you need, don't put it into crypto.
I don't want to. I have to bring Jeremy Piven out. But if you can explain crypto, how it works in 30 seconds, I'll listen. If you have a simplified version of this is...
Sure.
This is what it is. Go ahead, lay it on me because I still don't understand.
So gold is worth X, right?
Yes.
Gold has a value. It's what anyone will pay for it.
Yes.
So Bitcoin has a value. It's XY. It's whatever someone will pay for it. There's only 21 million Bitcoins, and right now each one is worth $60,000. That's all it is.
That's it.
That's it.
And what determines the value of it, what people are buying it at? And what
supply and demand and scarcity. There's a lot more, but I mean, essentially.
So it's a finite amount.
Yes.
That makes sense.
It's a finite amount
of
Bitcoin.
And how do we know? Who's the controller of said Bitcoin? Who keeps an eye on this stuff?
Jimmy. Jimmy's an asshole.
Is this Q that's doing all of this?
Yes.
Where's the regulation?
It's regulated. It's a big computer program, blah, blah, blah.
Do you believe that crypto will replace regular currency?
I believe that get in while the getting's good, because at the end of the day, it's worth nothing.
Yeah.
But get in while it's good.
Well, a few days ago, I chatted with Jeremy Piven, third guest on Spike's Car Radio. It was nice to have him back. He has a new movie that he's going to tell us about, and it was nice to reminisce with him about the early days of Spike's Car Radio and the... And now here we are, almost 4 years later.
Has it been that long?
It's been that long. Should I keep doing this?
I don't know. Do you like it?
Should I keep doing it? I do enjoy it. It's nice. These moments are nice during the day.
It's fun. I think we need cigars and Zuckerman, but yeah, it's good.
No, I wanted a laid-back thing. This was good. I enjoyed talking about the Polestar with you. Guys like you, for me, are great. Because you are encyclopedic knowledges of car. I can tell you what I experienced in it, but you can really explain it to the audience.
I'm still laughing about the Zuckerman and the thumb injury chasing the mozzarella truck.
Oh, baby.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Well, the Dear Abbeys have been fun.
We got a lot from the listeners, the Dear Abbeys for Dear Zuckermans, and Policy Genius is over the moon about Zuckerman's real insurance stories. So.
Oh, that's the greatest.
Yeah, we'll do one next week. Why not?
I mean, I just like smoking cigars.
Why not? Yeah. Well, what are you doing Friday? That's the joy of the podcast.
Nothing. I got nothing. What am I doing for the next 10 months? Nothing. There's nothing to do.
I know. It's rough.
I'm going to work on my Zuckerman impersonation.
Here is
corpses equal Porsches.
Here's my interview with our friend Jeremy Piven.
993.
good to have you back on. We haven't had you on since episode 3 when you were an early guest. So I think first and foremost, I know you're here to promote your new IFC film, Last Call, which we'll get to. But the listeners really want to know, have you found a Porsche yet? Have you bought a car?
I have not bought a car. Your listeners are. This is the part where all of your listeners literally tune out. I bought it. I literally. You want to hear the one sentence, which is the worst sentence in the history of your podcast?
Yes.
I bought a Tesla.
Well, that's fine. I like Tesla. Are you enjoying that?
It's the greatest time of my life, and I just. I think about Jerry Seinfeld and how much he hates us for our Teslas, and I celebrate him. And then I think, you know what? This is going to ruin my chance to be, you know, in comedians getting coffee and cars. And then I realize he'll never have me on anyway. And then I just keep driving silently.
It's not going to affect anything. You're a comedian, first and foremost, and that's all that matters when it comes to that show. But so did you get a Model S? What Tesla did you get?
I got a Model S, and it's 0 to 60 in about, I don't know, 2.4, 2.7. I was driving. Oh, you'll love this. A friend of mine just got the new electric Porsche.
The Taycan.
Yes. And it's incredible. Oh, my God. I would definitely jump ship for that.
So you're immediately ready to get rid of your Model S and switch over. Now, as I understand it, the Tesla has a better range and is really further along in development than the Taycan. But still, you would jump.
It does have a better range. But the turning radius in the Porsche is better. The turning radius in a Tesla is kind of like a very exciting golf cart.
It is. Yes.
and by the way, I am the least qualified person to, as you know, more than anyone, to talk about cars. Elon Musk and his team of experts, and they're colonizing Mars now, I think, or whatever they're doing. They're so far ahead of us, and I'm just a Jewish caveman, so I'm not worthy of critiquing cars. It's amazing. I think that's the only chink in the armor is the turning radius.
That's right. Well, I'm glad you found something. I'm glad you have something to drive around with. And, you know, when you're thinking about vintage, you'll call us and we'll figure something out. Let me ask you about, you know, I'm fascinated by your stand-up comedy career. We often talk about the pivot, where you went suddenly from acting just to stand-up. And I think there were a lot of doubters out there that didn't think you could do it. And I remember coming to see you early in your development, and I thought, boy, what a natural stand-up you are. And you know, I follow you on all your social media, and now you're out there doing stand-up regularly. Am I mistaken, or were you just doing shows in Florida?
I literally got back last night from – I was doing the Improv in Houston, and the weekend before that, I was in San Antonio. And, you know, I'm just touring all the red states. And then I'm going to hit Orange County, you know, because Trump is big there. He's orange. That's his county. I'm loving the journey. The idea you even saw me when I was like 3 months into stand-up is horrifying. I mean, I, at this point, to be honest with you, I'd love for you to see the set, because you know more than anyone when you're doing, you know, a lot of, I've been doing just before COVID, I was doing 250 shows a year, 5 to 8 shows a week, and grinding and loving it, and talking to anyone that would engage with me about comedy. And you know, listen, I love it. Who doesn't love to be counted out? I love it. It's inspiring to me. I've been counted out as an actor my whole life, and that's what it's all about. It's like, you know, you do the work and you get better, and that's all you can do. And the rest of it's out of your hands.
What surprised you the most? What was the hardest part of this learning curve, jumping up on stage and doing it?
I think the hardest part is, you know my background. I mean, I've been on stage since I was 8 years old, and also at my first job out of college was performing at Second City. So my background is as an actor and also sketch comedy. And with sketch comedy, you're writing on your feet, but you're with a group. You're not alone. And so I kind of always thought, if I work my ass off, and I'm on stage and I'm prepared, I will also be able to improvise on, I was delusional about the level that I could improvise on, because it's such a science. And even though you're equipped as an improviser, it's so layered and difficult, and it's humbling. You know, the harder you work, the more reps you get, the better equipped you are to be in the moment and find some magic. The hardest part also is crowd work, because there's no substituting just getting the reps. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to figure out how to navigate that crowd in the best way possible. The whole, even though a lot of my background would lend itself to stand up, it's still the most humbling form that I've experienced.
Wow. And you're playing these clubs now. I'm guessing you're saying Red States. Is that because those are the only comedy clubs open right now? I mean, comedy clubs are generally...
I have a lot of options here in L.A. I just played the Improv Drive-In, getting heckled by Kia Sorrentos. I made a very large group of liberals. The whole group of liberals left in their Priuses, but they left quietly. The Ford F-150s were there for Trump. Listen, man, to get the reps in LA, you know, it's very difficult. You're in the backyard of churches. I'm Jewish. Mm-hmm. It's awkward. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the fuck is happening, man.
So these outdoor standups, that's kind of a fascinating thing in its own right. Right. You're on stage, but you're just looking at cars, and I guess you can see people in them. Is it like a drive-in movie? Are they listening on their radios, or can they hear it by rolling their windows down?
Both. But, you know, it's kind of like, it's a combination of, you know, you're being like in the 50s at a drive-in, and then also just running through traffic trying to tell riddles. So it's heavy lifting. It's very heavy lifting. And by the way, you know, I welcome all of it, because I didn't come up in the game. And mm-hmm. so I'm lucky to get any shots. And
I would guess that people are beeping their horns. Are there different things they do in the car to show their appreciation for your joke? Like a windshield wiper is kind of applause, but a laugh is a horn.
Listen, it's all very confusing. I can't tell if I'm bombing or they want me to get out of the way. I don't know what's happening.
And how many cars are you playing for at a show like that?
Well, I don't mean to brag, Spike, but I mean, there's you know, I'm drawing over, you know, 200 cars.
That's big. And where does this take place in L.A.? Where are we having these drive-in comedy events?
The Improv, that does a really nice job out, you know, they're out in Irvine, and they have a brilliant club there. And next door, I'm at the top of a parking lot. And, you know, people are just speaking to me through their horns. And I'm at the point now where I can identify a car by the horn, you know?
That is such a sad commentary on society right now. But it seems like everything's opening back up. When you play these other states, you go to Texas, is it full capacity, or are they doing that 25% capacity deal?
Texas Wednesday will be 1,000% open. Wow. Texas is opening bigger than Starbucks has opened. You know, mm-hmm. Starbucks will open a Starbucks in a Starbucks. You know what I mean? And now Texas is like, if Rona comes on my lawn, I'll shoot it in the fucking face. They don't care, man. They don't care. I was just playing the improv there, and you know, they were there. They were all right. Showing up, man, and it was great houses. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had COVID. I get tested a couple times a week. I get to see my mom who's had the vaccine. So I feel, you know, that I'm not going to give it to people, but you know, you can't throw away politics and get up on stage and perform.
Now, you can't just say, throw in there that you had COVID. I have to follow that up. What happened? Where did you get COVID? I didn't know this.
I got COVID from a friend in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a moment where I'm not going to lie to you where I thought I would become the modern day Steve Bartman because I saw a Chicago Cub and I thought I might have infected him. I'm telling you way too much information, Spike. You're just like, you're like one of these guys. You feel like a therapist or a bartender.
I hope. This is great. I mean, I'm naturally curious about, as you know, I'm a huge fan of yours, but I'm also, I love hearing the COVID stories of anyone. It doesn't matter if it's a grocer or a major star like yourself. I want to know, I think mostly for my own protection, we're all experiencing this thing. So you get it from a friend just hanging out. Were you angry at this person?
There's no time to be angry at anyone anymore. Like there's no, that's wasted energy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you have a rough time with it?
Gardner. I did not have a rough time with it. I was very lucky. I had it for a few days. I lost sense of smell and taste, and it felt like you're really sore after the gym and you have no energy. And then I was back and felt great, and that was that.
And you've got antibodies now, and you can go out and perform in comedy clubs. I love it.
Yeah.
Do you feel that confidence? Do you walk around like I don't have to worry anymore?
No, I wear 3 masks on my face. I wear 11 condoms at all times. I'm the guy wearing masks in my car alone.
Yes,
you know, I believe in performative gestures. I want the world to see me in a certain way. There's nothing really authentic about my life. Oh, sorry,
Jeremy Piven has a new movie called Last Call. It's opening in select theaters, in movie theaters too, and it's on demand March 19th, IFC Films. I was intrigued. I watched the trailer. That's all I had access to. But you're playing an Irish guy. You're playing a guy like me, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure you can identify with this Irish family in Philly. He grows up in a pub culture. I end up inheriting the pub from my mom who passes away. I go back home. I'm about to gentrify the neighborhood and take it all down. It's one of these kind of cool stories, which is a slice of life, but at the same time, it's about, you know, what matters the most to you in this life. How important is success over family? And, I get to work with the great Bruce Dern and Taryn Manning and it's just, it's a really great cast, and it's funny and raunchy, and I kind of think that we need something like that right now.
It's Sherry O'Terry, Jamie Kennedy is in it.
Yeah.
When I watched the trailer, it reminded me of Massachusetts, like my hometown friends, and you know, a simple movie with good music and good actors and a solid story. And I, you know, made a mental note to watch it when it comes out. When did you shoot this? During the pandemic?
We did shoot some of it. Sherry stuff. We kind of like finished the bulk of filming the weekend that COVID started. So a year ago this week. And then Sherry, we kind of added some of that stuff because she's so brilliant. And we thought it would just be really funny if she was kind of like this kind of spiritual guru that is totally self-consumed and isn't really spiritual, but I still go to her anyway. And he's not a guy that has access to his spirituality. So that was really fun. And yeah, I do believe, I'd love to hear where you're at, but I think, you know, in a time where everyone feels to be overcorrecting, to have a movie out that is raunchy, is true to itself and to that, and to that time and to who these people were, is something that I think will be welcomed right now.
How did you approach the blue collar Irish guy? Because you're the least blue collar Irish guy I've ever met, which makes it interesting to watch you play this part. But how did you approach that?
I was lucky enough to you know, I've had friends from all different walks of life and grew up with Irish Catholics everywhere. And, you know, we all, I wouldn't say that I'm Jewy. You know, I think that there are, you know,
I didn't say it, but I was thinking.
Well, you
it.
Did. I mean, you're basically calling me a kike. You're calling me a dirty Jew. You're calling me a cheap Jewish. Yeah, I mean, whatever, Spike. It's, it happens. Even though Jews have been signing your checks for years, Spike, don't worry about it.
Yes. Continue.
That is true.
No, but I mean, the guys I, you know, the Affleck, the people I grew up with, the crazy Boston Irish drunks that we
right.
are.
You know, fucking wicked tuna, bro.
Yeah,
some
exactly.
Hardcore wicked tuna. I am about to do a movie with Harvey Keitel in which I play a guy from Boston who just gets out of prison. I mean, here's the great thing about acting, which is different than stand-up that you know so well. With performing as an actor, you embrace whatever the character is and you play it as authentically as possible and you don't judge your characters and you enter into those characters. And, you know, that's one of the weird things going on right now. It's like, you know, do you really have to be, you know, mentally ill to play a mentally ill person and or a paraplegic? Do you have to be a paraplegic to play a paraplegic? Well, no, this is why we've all studied and gone to school. And this is that's our vocation, man. You know, I don't have to be an Irish Catholic to play one.
Of course,
you know,
not. I was not implying that. The Irish, by the way, we're not very organized. We're just happy to have you out there representing us. Mm. I was not trying to stir controversy here.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And
but you make a very good point. It's really, you know, it's the groups that are well organized, I think, that dictate those terms as far as who can play what. I'd be very surprised if you see us Irish folks out there protesting you playing this, because we all love Jeremy Piven. We don't care that. How did you put it? You're Jewy. We don't. That doesn't bother us.
Okay, great. take a look at the movie. See if it's right for you. With the movie that I'm doing coming up. I mean, I am working with a dialect coach. You know, there's a bunch of different angles that you hit and you try to do as much homework as possible, and then you show up and hopefully you get lucky on the day. And the great thing about stand-up is, like, their whole thing is, you know, just get up there and be present and be truthful and be yourself.
Right.
And so
Is that the comedy you like to do? Like, you know, out of all the comedy, you're obviously refining and you're relatively new. What little pocket of stand-up have you found that's the most satisfying and fun to talk about? Is it observational? Is it personal stories from your life? Is it working the audience?
It's all of it. I love to do impressions and I love to have them, you know, find their way into stories so that you can tell the story as best you possibly can. Mm-hmm. So you just use it as, you know, kind of like a little spice in there or whatever. But I was doing an observation the other night about women paying the check, and the women next to me started high-fiving each other because I hit something. And, you know, all comics know this all too well. And for me to kind of like hit those moments mean a lot to me, because then you're kind of like hitting this universal truth and they see it and whatnot. And I'm all of it means a lot to me. And I respect that space you occupy when you do stand up. I remember Rogan brought me up at the Comedy Store and he said, great, this is all we need. Another actor trying to do stand up. And I appreciated his honesty. And everyone does. He's very authentic. And then he saw me do a set and he goes, oh, okay, you're taking this seriously.
Yeah.
And I do. And it means a lot to me that he, you know, that he gets it, because he doesn't, he's a straight shooter. And so I'm just, you know, you're saying which, what means the most? All of it does. But yeah, you have to, I love that you're operating as yourself. It's not a character, and you can enter into characters, but you're speaking your truth as you know it. And that's, it's just a fascinating form, and I love it.
Let me ask you before you go.
Yeah.
I was going through your IMDb page, and I came across this Spence Kovac on the Drew Carey Show. Jeremy Piven, Spence Kovac. Dana Carvey Show, which I worked on. Spence Kovac, uncredited. Yeah. Ellen Show, all over the place. What am I looking at there? What does that mean? Who is Spence Kovac? What's going on it, there?
You know,
Coach that TV is a series, Spence Kovac, Grace Under Fire, Spence right. Kovac.
Right. So what happened was, I was playing Spence Kovac for a few years on Ellen's, the sitcom Ellen, her sitcom before her
yep.
talk show. And I was playing her cousin, Spence Kovac, and we did an episode where we all went to Vegas, and there were all these different shows that were there. Drew Carey was there. By the way, I remember going to see Drew Carey, and he was doing some stand-up, and there were a lot of adult beverages involved, and I had to wake up a few hours later and literally be Spence Kovac in all these different shows, completely hungover. And so I don't really remember it. I don't think anyone else does either, but thank you for bringing it up.
Again, the podcast is about what Spike is curious about.
I love it. That's a good deep dive. Well done, sir.
The new movie is Last Call. It's an IFC film. It stars the great Golden Globe winning, Emmy Award winning Jeremy Piven, and secret Porsche fanatic. Also Bruce Dern, Taryn Manning, Jamie Kennedy. I used to work for Jamie Kennedy. Sherry O'Terry, Kathy Moriarty on the Jamie Kennedy Experience. And it looks like a great film. You want to settle down on a Friday night with a nice independent film with a great cast and a nice story and a relatable story. This is going to be the one to watch. It is available on demand March 19th and opening in theaters. It's Last Call. Jeremy Piven, thank you, my friend. It's good
thank
to chat
you, buddy.
With you again.
And I it hope is always I hope good. Quick question for you. Are you, once this the plague it has run its course.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully there won't be frogs and lotuses and we don't know what's next. Are you going to be on a porch in Malibu doing your podcast?
Occasionally. If you want to come and do it in person like we did before, yes, for you, we would do that. It's only, you know, some of the big guns, Pat Dempsey, Jeremy Piven, anybody who lives in Malibu that just wants to come over there and make it easy will do that.
Do you remember how I met you? I was literally, I'll never forget it. I'm transfixed by this Porsche.
Yes.
And I'm looking at this forest green Porsche, like a 73. I'm like, what is this? And then I just hear, stop touching my Porsche, you Jew. And I look up and it's Jerry Seinfeld on a Porsche. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm fondling Jerry's Porsche. This is and you were sitting with Sebastian Maniscalco.
Right.
I don't mean to drop names, but you hang with some heavy hitters.
It was once.
And I just walked onto the porch and didn't even ask if it was okay if I sit down. I just sat down with comedy royalty, and I'll never forget it. Jerry said to me, like, what are you doing now? And I said, well, I'm in London. I'm shooting a costume drama for 4 years. And he looked at me and he was just like, why would you do that? And I just remember him thinking, like, it just, you know, like he thought that's a terrible idea. And you know what's interesting? At the time, I thought, you're crazy, Jerry. I'm living the dream. And then I have to say, since that moment, I've been doing stand-up comedy, and I totally get what he was talking about, mm-hmm. because I really do. I had no clue what he was talking about then, but now touring the country, doing stand-up, making people laugh, working on these jokes, and just navigating that space, and then having time for the rest of your life. I don't have a life, but if I did, it would be perfect. And I could have that balance. He's got a family. He's evolved. I'm looking for one. I'm 200 years old. I'm still single. It's not cute. Listen, you and I, we need another separate podcast for this conversation.
I'd love to have that conversation.
Yes.
That would be great. I mean, in fact, I think Jerry would like to weigh in on that as well. He has a lot to say.
He does have a lot to say, and I want to hear it, because people all want to know why I'm still single. And the truth is, I've been married to my work, man. And then my work decided to see other people. My work is currently seeing anyone ethnic. Anyone. Listen, I love you. I love you with the power of Christ, and I'm Jewish. You know how you know someone's Jewish, Spike?
Yes, how?
They tell you. They tell you over and over again.
That's right.
They don't ever stop telling you.
No. Well, I'm a quarter Jewish, and I'll tell you that right now.
Really?
Of course. Yes. Look at my nose. Next time you see me, look at my nose. That's the Jewish part. Fernsteins. I'm a Bill Maher, Irish Catholic Jew. That's what I am.
Yeah. But you have the hairline of a goyim. You do have a good hairline, bro.
Thank you.
I do, man. I'm very jealous. I've got like a post-nuclear Bruce Willis thing. I'm going to go.
We're all falling apart.
Yes.
That's the fun of it. And that's the fun of the porch, by the way. Old men on a porch, all falling apart.
I love it. Count me in next time.
We will. The movie's called Last Call, starring Jeremy Piven. Thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
March 19th. We'll see you March 19th.
Yes, I'll see you soon, I hope, brother.
All right, take care. And there it is.
What? How did you like the interview?
I screwed it up.
What do you mean?
Well, I was going to do my Zuckerman impersonation, and I had the moment, and I dropped the ball.
Jeremy Piven bought a Tesla.
Piven, amazing.
He bought a Tesla.
Amazing.
He's quite a character, isn't he?
Amazing.
The pivot to comedy. The Piven pivot is one that...
He was a Simpsons punchline the other night.
He was? What was the joke?
Oh, it was a bad joke.
Oh, all right. Well, don't say it.
I won't say it.
No one likes to be made fun of. Well, we like to make fun of.
Hang on. If you're on The Simpsons, that's a badge of honor, I think, to be made, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I guess.
Right?
I don't know.
You join the likes of Eudora Welty. I mean, it's a total honor.
I do know in comedy you have to really have a sense of humor. If you can really let that joke happen about yourself, it's a great thing. It makes people love you. It makes people love you. Anyway, what are you promoting?
I'm promoting nothing. Just go to my Instagram account, at Johnny Lieberman on Instagram.
It's all happening there.
You'll see I have some T-shirts for sale with my buddy Gary. I have a new Blip Shift shirt coming out at some point. It's going to be a Cadillac CTS-V shirt. It's going to be the best shirt I've ever done.
Yeah.
That's...
How do you approach those? Do you design them yourselves, or do you... they have such a great design department there.
I've done everything. I've done every way. So this one was, I sent them an idea I had, and they sent me back a much, much better idea.
Yeah. That's
like,
how it works.
Shockingly better.
They're so good.
And I'm telling you, this CTS-V is going to be like the crowning achievement of my T-shirt career.
There you go.
It's all downhill.
And if you can't wait for Johnny's shirt, mine is available at blipship.com, I think, /Spike or Spike Scar Radio. Go to the site and buy it.
Yeah.
It's our secret handshake. There's just an SCRS on there.
I bought mine.
There you go. And next week, hopefully we'll have Johnny back. We'll have Zuckerman. We'll have cigars. We'll have Mexican food.
I got to do my Zuckerman material.
What do you got?
He's not here
to interrupt. Go ahead.
Corpses equal Porsches. Family of three, 993.
I've heard so many of these.
Family of four, 964.
I got one for you. I got one of those yesterday, and then this just horrible, horrible story, and then he goes, I'm like, oh, Zuckerman, I just don't have time for the gore and the laughter right now, man.
It was a radon leak. The grandma died. I got a new yacht master.
Her face sloughed off like melted frosting on a summer cake. All over the floor.
But then it's that combined with, and then I got a new couch.
And then he laughs. No, it's the laughter. And then he hears himself talking, and then he laughs, and then he sputters to a cough and to an end. Anyway, it's been good to be with you folks.
Yes.
We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.